praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, isn't it good to sing redemption songs? Isn't it good to sing that out, I am redeemed? You know, is that what people know you as? They should. And if they don't, you better give your life a checkup. Praise the Lord. Did you come hungry for the Word here today? Yeah, well, we're going to get the Word of God. And of course, whenever you come through these doors, you're always going to get the Word of God. You're not going to get my opinions. Hopefully, if my opinions start to bleed through, I'll try to warn you of that. You know, it's not my opinions that count. It's the Word of God that counts. Praise the Lord. Turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. And I'm going to call this message this morning, Symptoms of True Prosperity. Symptoms of True Prosperity. And go to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to start over there, in verse 13 here in just a moment. You know, when somebody has caught something, maybe if they have caught a virus or something, there's symptoms that start to manifest. And sometimes there are things that can be seen and you can know and understand that might tell you, you know, what they have. Of course, a lot of times when a doctor will diagnose an issue with somebody, they'll ask, well, what symptoms are you facing? You know, what are the outward signs of the underlying, you know, issue? And of course, they'll diagnose a lot of times based on the symptoms. Well, this morning, we're going to find out if the symptoms of prosperity are on our lives. And of course, when you hear that term prosperity, so many times people instantly start thinking of what? They start thinking about money. And here comes Pastor preaching about money. Well, listen, you know me around here. I'm not scared to preach on whatever God tells me. And I'll preach on money if that's what we're preaching on. But I'm not preaching on money by itself. I'm preaching on prosperity. And people try to turn prosperity into a money issue. I'll tell you what, you can have a lot of money and have zero prosperity in God's eyes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Before we go there, hold your place there. I'm just getting led a different direction. Go over to 1 Corinthians. Go over there. And I'm just going to go a little direction because so many Christians don't know this or they don't realize it. Did I say 1 Corinthians? I meant 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You know, 1 and 2 Corinthians are right next to each other. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, we are going to go right back to Proverbs here. I believe we'll be led right back. But all of a sudden, this scripture just started playing on the inside of my heart because this verse, I think, in just one, you know, a small passage just tells us exactly what prosperity is, all right? And let's go ahead, let's bring up 2 Corinthians 8, 9. And I'm reading out of the King James Bible. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich," and of course the Bible calls Jesus rich. All right, that word rich, don't let it trouble you. It means fully supplied. All right, he was fully supplied, of course, before he came to earth. He was fully supplied when he was on this earth. All right, he was fully supplied. Say, well, Pastor, I don't believe that. Well, you need to go over and read Luke chapter 8. It said that he had many donors to his ministry. At one point, Philip, his disciple, asked him, said, "Lord, do you want us to go buy bread for 5,000 people? You know, at what time do you have money to, you know, at what time do, you know, did a poor person have enough money on them to buy 5,000 people lunch?" Well, remember that happened. The Bible says that there was many that helped and contributed to Jesus' ministry. All right, don't let the word rich bug you, because in our American culture, we hear the word rich and we start thinking of like movie stars, rock stars, and we start associating a wrong attitude with it. Jesus never had an arrogant attitude or anything. He was just fully supplied, all right? It says, "Yet for your sakes, he became poor." Jesus didn't become poor for his own sake. He became poor for our sake. Amen? And he became poor where? On the cross. That you, through his poverty, might be rich. Now, again, that scripture upsets people because they instantly start thinking about money. They instantly just start, you know, processing, you know, American culture, American society. Again, that word rich means fully supplied. Jesus became poor so that you could become fully supplied. All right? So notice this is what the first thing I want you to know about prosperity is that money never made you prosperous. Money never made you rich. The blood of Jesus makes you rich. And if you're born again here today, if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, whether you're down to your last nickel or you're sitting on a seven-figure savings account, it doesn't matter. If you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, guess what the Bible calls you? Rich. All right, see, to be rich the world's way requires money. Because if you have to have a certain level of money in order to be rich the world's way. And here's the thing about money is that it comes and goes. And if you're rich the world's way, when money leaves, then prosperity leaves. If your money leaves, then rich leaves. But if you're born again in Jesus Christ, money can come and go, but rich never leaves. Listen, because money can't make me rich, it didn't make me rich. If it comes, it doesn't make me rich. If it goes, it doesn't. The rich doesn't go with it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So what I'm talking about here is catching the symptoms of prosperity, which is a knowledge and a mentality to know that I'm rich regardless of what's going on in my bank account. I am rich regardless, and I am fully supplied. My bank account isn't my supply, right? Even my paycheck isn't my supply. God is my supply. Philippians 4:19, but our God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory, not the earth's riches. Aren't you glad that you're not on the earth's economy? Aren't you glad you don't have to be subject to the definition of earthly prosperity? All right, but here's the thing. Does earthly prosperity, can it and does it follow the plan of God? Yeah. Does God want you fully supplied financially? Yes, he does. But don't you dare think that if money comes and goes, that you're rich came and went. You're rich. If you're born again, I don't care. You say, well, I don't have any nice clothes. You're rich. But my car is 15 years old and falling apart. You're rich. See, the reason why so many Christians, they don't have a rich mentality is because they thought their car made them rich or not. They thought their bank account made them rich or not. Listen, I was just as rich 20 years ago, or I should say, well, that's not quite true. It's about, you know, coming up on, you know, a little over 15 years ago. When I made Jesus the Lord of my the Lord and Savior of my life, I was living, my wife and I, when we were first married, we lived in a real small apartment above a storefront. It wasn't in a good location. We had drug dealers living next door to us. But guess what? We were born again. Therefore, we were rich. And now, of course, you know, God will supply and he will meet needs based on what you are on the inside. Hallelujah. If you're going through a financial a tough time or a burden or a crisis, guess what? That financial need cannot steal your rich. God is waiting for you to declare who you are. Amen. When Jesus became poor, where did he become poor? On the cross. At that moment, you were, like we were singing in the song, you were redeemed. Notice what you were redeemed from. Yes, number one, you were redeemed from your own sin. But notice you were also redeemed from poverty. Come on now. Jesus became poor so that you, through his poverty, would be rich. And God, remember, I quoted Psalm 107, verse 2. Can you bring that up? And if we're redeemed from poverty, like this verse tells us, then we should say so. Psalm 107, verse 2, I believe that's the right one. Praise the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say what they're redeemed from. I am redeemed from sin, right? I am redeemed from poverty and lack. I am redeemed from sickness and disease. The Bible says in Hebrews 2:15, I'm redeemed from fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, God hasn't given me the spirit of fear. Imagine if we walked and talked all the time what the Bible says we're redeemed from. See, redemption requires a voice. It requires someone breathing, you know, breathing life into your redemption, and it should be coming out of your mouth, right? It says, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You're redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Aren't you glad? And so we're back here at 2 Corinthians 8:9. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was well supplied, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty would be rich. Yes. And so this is why I want this symptom to get on you. I want you to become one of those Christians that isn't dictating their prosperity based on how much money you have at the moment. Because if you're rich the world's way, when money leaves, the rich goes with it. But if you're rich God's way, nothing in this world can take away your rich. Glory to God. You know, and that's the mentality that I want you to catch. This is a symptom that I want you to have. Now go over back to Proverbs chapter 3. Let me show you this. Let me show you where true prosperity comes from. Yes, and we're going to give some balance. I know that word prosperity, it's a dirty word in a lot of church circles, and it's also an abused word on Christian TV. My goodness, you got to be careful what you're watching on there, because they will promote and they will preach a prosperity message that isn't biblical, and they will start to make merchandise of men. And they will start, you know, selling their ideas. And they think that prosperity is just the size of your house or the size of your car. No, no, no. I'll tell you what. Your rich is the size of Jesus' blood. Glory to God. Listen, if you're born again, you're no less rich than the person, you know, who's born again and has a bigger house than you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, does God want good things in our lives? Yes. It's not wrong to believe God for a house and a job. And listen, don't you want to see America prosper again? Yeah, I want to see America prosper again. I want to see more jobs in our country. I want to see higher earnings and higher incomes. Yeah, if we want that politically for all the people of our country, how much more for the people of God? Listen, I'm going to confess something right now. I'm going to say this. I want you to prosper. I want you to have joy in your marriages. I want you to enjoy your jobs. I want you to enjoy your children. I want you to have heaven on earth, and I will do anything in my God-given ability to get you there. But I know that I can't get you there if I don't teach the word. Listen, I am for you. I want you to have more than I have. You know what I mean? And it's not a competition. I don't mean materially. I mean, I want you to experience just absolute joy in everything you do. And yes, down there in the definition of prosperity, having a full supply is included in it. Thank God for it. I'll tell you what. I've been a pastor for 10 years. I've seen a lot of Christian families sit there and struggling financially. They're worried all the time. They're pressured. That's not God's best. You know, and they're sitting there and they're burdened, and I see that and I think, I want to help. I want to help do something about that. I want them to get the symptoms. I want them to say, you know what? I know it looks tough. I know our finances look tough right now, but I'm rich. I dare you, in the next time you're looking at a hopeless situation or what seems to be hopeless in your finances, that you will dare release out of your mouth, I'm the rich of the Lord. I'm the rich of the Lord. He's waiting for the redeemed of the Lord to say so. And don't let your checkbook have the last word. Don't let a loss of a job have the last word. Don't look at some decrease or something that came and attacked your, you know, some debt or some unexpected expense. And don't let it steal what you are. Don't let those things have the last word. Amen. Listen, and if you say, well, Pastor, what do you know about it? Listen, I'll tell you what I know about it. I'll tell you, like I said, before my wife, you know, when my wife and I were just married, you know, we didn't have hardly anything. I mean, we literally were living on ramen noodles and peanut butter sandwiches at times. And if it was a real special treat, there'd be a box of cereal, you know, and it'd be like, woo, Cinnamon Toast Crunch today, you know, lap of luxury, you know. And we became tithers in January of 2004. And from that day, we've never ceased to be tithers before God. And when we first became tithers, there was apparently, you know, the way it looked is that we couldn't afford to tithe. And we came down to a decision, we're either going to pay our tithes or we're going to pay our electric bill. And we decided to pay our tithe. And our electricity got shut off. Probably you remember the story. And of course, you know, my wife and I, we just decided we'd rather have that power turned off than that power turned off. I'd rather obey God, right, and go without the electricity for a little bit. And we did that. And I'll tell you what, from 2004 until this moment, I've never regretted being a tither. I've seen what God does in the life of those that will just follow the word. Amen. Who will submit their finances before Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. But more than anything, so many times, you know, believers just start thinking, oh, you know, where's the money? Where's the money? Or why, you know, I lost my job, or this trial came against us. You know, we're not prosperous anymore. Well, listen, if you thought that money made you prosperous to begin with, you're sadly mistaken. Money does not make you happy. Listen, you were supposed to have the joy of the Lord before. You're supposed to be the same exact person in Jesus as when you didn't have money as you did when you do have money. Money doesn't change you, right? Praise the Lord. All right, are you in Proverbs chapter 3 yet? Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13. Let's balance this. In verse 13, Proverbs 3:13, it says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Everyone say wisdom. Wisdom. Okay. And it says, and the man that getteth understanding. All right. And now verse 14 says, for the merchandise of it, that means wisdom and understanding. For the merchandise of wisdom is better. Everyone say better. Don't you just hate when the pastor makes you repeat things? Oh, I thought that was funnier than it was. For the merchandise of wisdom is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. So notice that wisdom is better in the eyes of the eyes of God. Wisdom is better than money. This is the problem that Christians are having. They're pursuing wealth and they're not pursuing wisdom. Wisdom before wealth, right? Character before cash. Listen, God has directed us to pursue his wisdom. All right? Now when we pursue his wisdom, let's read the rest. Verse 15, still talking about wisdom here. Notice the first word of verse 15, she. Come on, ladies, you're really going to like this verse. It's still talking about wisdom. She, wisdom, is more precious than rubies. Okay? Ladies, God compares wisdom to a woman. Oh, yeah, all the husbands said amen. Come on now. Women, that is a wonderful compliment. You know, that's the one thing difference between Christianity and all the other religions. They all demean women. God, he will put women in a very wonderful place, right? He says, women are wise. And husbands, you should be saying amen. Because a lot of times, women, you are far more wise than men are. Yep, just got to admit it. Praise the Lord. Plus, my wife is here, and, you know, it might help me out to say that. Praise the Lord. Right? And all the things that you can desire are not to be compared unto wisdom. Think about all the things people desire. Have you ever had desires before? Have you ever desired a new car? Oh, don't look so holy now. Oh, it's wrong to desire a new car. What do you mean it's wrong? God's making those things for the devil's kids? No. The Bible says, what does it say over there in 1 Timothy 6:17? He's made all things for us to richly enjoy. Isn't that what the scripture says? All right, so have you ever had a desire for, have you ever had desires for material things? Yes, you have. If you say you haven't, you're a liar. Have you ever desired a new pair of shoes? Have you ever desired a new suit? Have you ever desired a new job? Have you ever desired a pay increase? Don't act like you haven't, like your boss has never come to you and said, hey, we want to give you a pay increase in the company. No, I don't want that. Oh, please. don't think that you became someone different when you walked in the door, like all of a sudden, no, I don't have desire for anything. I'm so spiritual. Well, no, you're still human and you desire things. And the Bible says it's not wrong to desire things, by the way. And it says, but all the things you can desire are not to be compared with wisdom. See, here's the trap that the prosperity message has fallen into in the body of Christ. If it becomes a pursuit of wealth, if it becomes a pursuit of money and things, they've missed it. All right, we should be pursuing God's wisdom. Let's pursue wisdom. We are to pursue wisdom, not wealth. I am not chasing money. Money doesn't tell me where I work. Money doesn't tell me where I go. Money doesn't tell me who I vote for. Right? You know, people all the time, well, I got to vote for this person or that person, this candidate or that candidate, because they're better for my union, or they're better for my business, or they're better. Don't you dare vote your money. Well, amen. Oh, yeah, by the way, there is an election Tuesday. Can't wait to get it over with. Dear Lord, praise the Lord. But everything you can desire, notice what your number one desire is the wisdom and understanding of God. But why? Look at verse 16. Look at the result of wisdom. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. So notice what produces riches and honor. Wisdom. So how many of you know that James 1:5 tells us what? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. All right. And God, who gives to all men generously, and he upbraids not, it shall be given unto him. Does God want to give you wisdom? Okay, half of you think so. Some of you are not quite sure. Does God want to give you wisdom? Well, I got news for you. He already did, if you're born again. Can you bring up, for all you studiers out there, bring up 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. So what does wisdom produce? In her right hand, long life. And in her left hand, riches and honor. God says, my wisdom produces a long life for you and riches and honor. I grew up thinking that God was against riches and honor. I thought that if you had nice things, that God was against it. Well, then the Bible corrected that. No, God doesn't mind you having nice things. He minds you being covetous. What you have is wrong if you pursued it over wisdom. Let me say it again. What you have obtained outside of God's wisdom is wrong. But what you obtain within God's wisdom is his blessing. Praise the Lord. So if wisdom, wait, just so we remember, what does wisdom produce? Length of days in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Okay? If God didn't want you to have riches and honor, he should have never given you wisdom. But I'll tell you what, he gave you ultimate wisdom. Watch. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him, meaning of God the Father, are you in Christ. You are of God in Christ. Is there anyone here today that is of God in Christ? If you're born again, you are. Some of you didn't raise your hand because, you know, you're not quite sure. Well, we'll have an altar call for you. It says, Jesus, now speaking of Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom? Who believes that Jesus lives on the inside of them? All right, if you're born again, the Bible says in Colossians 1:27, Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. The hope of glory, okay? So the Bible says that Jesus lives on the inside of us. Therefore, what lives on the inside of us? He's called our wisdom. All right, and what does wisdom produce? Length of days, riches, and honor. All right, so you're now back over here to Proverbs 3 in verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. If God didn't want you to have long life, if he didn't want you to have riches and honor, he should have never given you Jesus. Because Jesus is the ultimate wisdom, all right? Now, let's talk about wisdom and let me give you a definition for it, okay? When we think of wisdom, we think of, you know, the old gray bearded owl. You know, we think of the turtle on the rock or whatever. Wisdom is more than just having age and experience, okay? I will show you what the Bible calls wisdom, all right? Wisdom is defined as this, the instruction of God. God gives us wisdom for every topic in life, all right? He gives us wisdom. It means he gives us instructions for everything in life, all right? First of all, what is the number one wisdom of God for all of humanity on this earth right now? To be saved. The number one instruction for every human being is to confess that Jesus is Lord and to believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead. That is the first and highest instruction or wisdom of God, all right, for every human being. But does God give us instructions for other areas in life? What is God's wisdom for marriage? Well, it's called 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right? It's called 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. If you master those verses, you'll master your marriage. Because that'll keep that right there. Love is patient, love is kind. That'll keep you busy for a lifetime in your marriage. Will it not? All right, husbands and wives, throw in the elbows. You know, don't look at your husband and say, this is for you, honey. Always remember, the Bible always wants you to be introspective. You look at yourself, right? All right, does God give us wisdom and instruction concerning concerning our finances? What's the first instruction of God for our finances? Tithing. Oh, ouch. It is. All right, it is. The first instruction of God's wisdom for our finances is what? To bring the first 10% to the house of God. And if you're visiting here from another church, then do that at your church. It isn't Family Church's idea, it's the Bible's idea. And when Christians don't tithe, they are kicking out the wisdom of God out of their life, right? And when you've kicked out the instruction of God, you've kicked out wisdom. And if you've kicked out wisdom, you've kicked out long life, riches, and honor. Because wisdom is simply following the instruction of the Lord. Okay? Does God give us wisdom concerning how to raise our children? Yes, He does. All right? And our families will suffer if we don't live by that wisdom. Here's the good news. Wisdom is not invented by you. You don't have to think it up. You don't have to imagine it. You don't have to create it. It's been sitting on your bookshelf the whole time. Yeah. Guess where God's blessings are for your marriage? Oh, they've been right here the whole time. Found in you pursuing His instruction. Where's been God's blessing for your business the whole time? Sitting in the Word of God, waiting for you to do the instruction of God. Let me ask this question. Now you thought everyone was excited about the tithing statement. What is the first instruction of God's wisdom to every local business that is owned by Christians? Tithe. Everyone say, well, I tithe my home, my personal income, but I don't tithe my business. Well, you've just kicked wisdom out of your business. You've kicked length of days, riches, and honor out of your business. Ooh, ouch, Pastor, these are your ideas. Nope. I just stand behind the Word, and I preach it, and I do it, and I can attest that God's Word works. Amen. All right. Let's look at, you're here in Proverbs chapter 3. Hold your place there. We may come back. Go over to chapter 9. Let me show you what the beginning of wisdom is. The first instructions of how to live in the things of God. Go to Proverbs chapter 9 and look at verse 10. Look at Proverbs 9:10, because what? Wisdom produces what? Long life, riches, and honor. God said in James 1:5, ask for wisdom. So many times Christians are asking God for money. The Bible doesn't say ask God for money. The Bible says ask God for wisdom, because wisdom produces riches and honor. God, I need this money. God, I need this money. I got news for you. God doesn't have any. It's not up there. You know, and of course, I say this all the time. You know, when you tithe to your local church, I'm gonna let you see behind the scenes. An angel from heaven does not take that money to heaven. I got news for you. It stays right here on earth, and it gets deposited in the bank, and then it pays to keep these doors open. It pays to start new churches. It pays to put radio programs on the air. It pays to put newspaper articles. It pays to have influence for Christ in this community. Amen. It pays so we can declare light has sprung up, right? Those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has sprung upon them. Amen. That's what we tithe for. It doesn't ever go to heaven, because God isn't sitting there missing money. You know what I mean? All right, but let's see, you know, so many Christians are asking for money when they should have asked for wisdom. Wisdom. All right. Proverbs 9:10, look at this. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. Here's the first thing you do if you want wisdom. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All right, the word fear, it doesn't mean to be startled or scared. It means reverence and honor. So you could say it this way. The reverence and honor of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Because remember, wisdom and understanding produce what? Length of days, riches, and honor. The first step to living long on this earth and having a full supply is living right. Yeah. Is what? To reverence God by living a life that is free of sin. Yeah. Listen, you are not prosperous if you have a lot of material goods, but your heart isn't right with God. The number one symptom, are you ready, of prosperity is your heart is right with God. Are you ready? People that have a heart for God, they have a constant desire to please Him. And they dread the idea of displeasing the Lord. Amen. Oh, see, Christians love the word increase. All you have to do is to a Christian congregation is say, increase is coming to you. Woo! We love that. Promotion. They love that word too. Yeah, I do. You know, and you do. And there's nothing wrong with increase and promotion. All right? But we love increase. We love promotion. We love pay raises. We love all those things. But then we start saying, tithing. Sacrificing. You know, living free of sin? No. Yeah, come on. See, do you hear the holy hush? Everyone gets quiet because Christians are mocking God. That's true. They're thinking that they're going to walk into God's prosperity and live wrong. You know, they think they're going to have, you know, God's prosperity, but they're not going to have to repent of their sin. They're not going to have to change their lifestyle. They're not going to have to tithe. They're not going to have to give. Wow. Come on now. Can you bring up, just I want to show this point in the scripture, just so since we're on it. Can you just bring up Galatians 6:7 for us? How about Galatians 6:7? Don't you be a deceived Christian. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that, and really that alone, shall he reap. Okay? Don't mock God by thinking you're going to reap a harvest when you haven't sown for it. Christians all over are trying to get a harvest they haven't sown for. God, pay our bills, but I don't want to tithe. God, pay our bills, but I don't want to give. God, pay our bills, but I don't want to sacrifice anything. What are you doing? You're mocking God. And it might have been some of our wonderful people here this morning with their hands lifted. Oh, praise the Lord. I am redeemed. And, you know, and they're singing and they're all rejoicing. In the meantime, they could be completely mocking the Lord. By expecting a harvest where they have not sown. Oh, hey, since you're in Proverbs chapter 9, go to Proverbs 8. Because since it said that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, and so now we can just keep connecting the dots. And if we have to reverence God by our lifestyle, if we're going to walk in wisdom, which means length of days and riches and honor, right? Look at Proverbs 8:13. One of my favorite verses. Proverbs 8:13. It says, the fear of the Lord, or to reverence and honor the Lord, is to hate evil. To hate evil. Didn't say to hate people. Just Christians get that confused. You don't hate people, you hate evil. That means evil in your life. It's not your job to go try to hate the evil out of someone else's life. All right? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Notice the number one thing he mentions, pride. Why do so many Christians not tithe? Because they're thinking of themselves. They're putting their stuff first. What is that, pride? Pastor, don't you know we have visitors today? Listen, this is what God gave me to preach. Pastor, you know, you're going to scare somebody out of your church. Listen. If there's two of you here today, or if there's 300 of you here today, I'm going to preach what God said to preach. Okay? You know, he says, pride and arrogancy in the evil way, in the froward or the dirty mouth, do I hate. That's what God says. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. But why do we have a movement in the body of Christ today that's embracing evil? They're embracing a lack of excellence in the local church. They're embracing musical styles that doesn't honor God. They're embracing, you know, a lot of things. You know, they're embracing this grace movement. I had somebody say, "Hey, look what this pastor and their Bible study group is doing." And it was a picture of them on Facebook having a Bible study, the pastor of the church drinking beers with the people of their church. And the pastor's, his notation on the Facebook post with good word and good brews. Because we're a hip church. No, you're a sinning church. You're a sinning church. And not like this one is perfect. I'm not headhunting anybody. We got to watch our own stuff, right? But you see that? That's sin. That's embracing evil. Embracing evil is the opposite of wisdom. The opposite of wisdom, you know, then you don't get length of days and riches and honor, right? Praise the Lord. Go back to chapter 3 now, Proverbs 3. So what are we pursuing? Wisdom. All right, what do we ask God for? Wisdom. What does wisdom produce? Length of days, riches, and honor. See, it's all matters. So people ask me, well, what is the balance then between this prosperity message that you see on Christian TV and Christians having nice things? Here's the balance of it. How'd you get it? Is what you have a harvest of what you've sown? Or is it just what you pursued over God? Notice that there's Christians that can have the same material blessings in this life. One got it through wisdom. One got it through greed. The same one thing could be a blessing from God, and the other Christian could make it their idol. See? What is the balance line? How you got it. Listen, when good things come into the life of a tither, I say praise the Lord. Tithing businesses, they're going to grow, they're going to flourish, and they're going to be blessed. Tithing households are going to grow, they're going to flourish, they're going to be blessed. Amen. You know, but people that just pursue wealth, it's going to hurt them and it's going to pierce you with many sorrows. Can I show you that in the scripture? Let me show you that. They don't show you that on the Prosperity Christian Message. Notice it's not what you get, it's how you got it. Go to 1 Timothy, I believe it is. Go to 1 Timothy. I'll find it. It's 1 Timothy 6:10. And of course, a very familiar scripture to us. Look at 1 Timothy 6:10. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." Well, boy, we sure seen that in this election. My goodness, sure it is. The love of money is the root of all evil. Notice it didn't say that money is the root of all evil. It said the love of money. Because if money was the root of all evil, we'd be in trouble. Because when God chose a man to win this planet, he started with a man named Abraham. And he had more money than all of us put together times 1,000. All right? So it's not just having money that's evil, it's the love of it. The love of money is the root of evil, which while some coveted after, notice they pursued it. Notice what they do? They pursued wealth over wisdom. They have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So notice, you can love wisdom and have riches and honor. And you can love money and have riches. Okay? But when you love wisdom, you receive those things God's way. God's way, and they're a blessing to your life. But if someone received it through the love of money, guess what? They're going to be pierced with sorrows. So it's not what they have, it's how they got it. Oh, praise the Lord. God said that he was going to pour out a blessing on tithers that there shall not be room enough to receive. That's what he said. And yet, I've known people that have good deal amount of money and they're completely miserable because they pursued that money over wisdom of God. All right. All right, let me show you this. Go to Luke chapter 12. Man, I'm not even through my introduction yet. See, I love putting things in balance. Amen. Say, well, Pastor, I just lost my job. What do I do? How about this? Say you're rich. Right. Well, I'm not rich. Well, then you must not be born again. Then we need to get you saved. Because if you're saved, the Bible says you are rich. And that money loss or that trial didn't steal your rich. Say, well, Pastor, what do I keep doing? The same thing that God said to always do. So, well, God doesn't want me to keep tithing when I lost my job. Yes, he does. Because tithing isn't about money. It's about reverencing the Lord. And God never says you take a break from that. Oh, man. Well, praise the Lord. Luke chapter 12. Look what Jesus said in Luke 12, 15. The words of Jesus, read in my Bible. That means Jesus is talking. And Jesus gave a very strong warning. And Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. Do you know what covetousness is? Pursuing wealth. You know, can I just be honest with you? And when I say this, it's not to pat myself on my back or anything. Maybe I was just more geared this way. I didn't come from a family with a lot of money or whatever. Also, I've just known this. Since I got saved, I've just pursued God. I've just put him first in all that I do. I've never sat there and cried out for money with God. I've just noticed as I keep obeying him, everything gets paid. That's really as simple as it is. Find the instruction of every aspect of life. Do that, and guess what? Things will turn out. Doesn't mean it'll always feel good, but it's going to turn out in your favor. God's word cannot fail. Jesus says in verse 15, he said, take heed, beware of covetousness, or beware of what you're pursuing. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Oh, all right. The word life there, it doesn't mean to just have oxygen in your lungs or a heartbeat in your chest. It is the Greek word for zoe. And many of you know what that means. If you don't, I'll tell you. All right. Zoe is a Greek word that means life as God has it. It means a fullness, a spiritual fulfillment and satisfaction. Jesus is saying you will not be fulfilled just on the abundance of your possessions. Listen, your car doesn't give you life. Your home doesn't give you life. Your income doesn't give you life. Those things are just going to be tools of following God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. My life is not going to depend. My satisfaction and my spiritual fulfillment in life is not on how new my vehicle is, right? How big my home is. Praise the Lord. I just follow God. And I just put his instruction first, and guess what? He'll take care of me. He'll take care of me because he says he will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. And when God blesses you, it's going to be across the board. He's not just going to put you in a nice home and then not help with your marriage. I mean, when you get blessed by God, it is going to be mentally, it's going to be physically, it's going to be maritally, it's going to be materially, it's going to be financially, it's going to be every way, shape, and form. It's across the board. Hallelujah. And so when people just try to make it a prosperity thing or they make it about their possessions, listen, I'm never going to sit up here and talk about what I have or what I don't have. What I have or don't have doesn't make me who I am. Glory to God. They are just the byproduct of just keep continuing to put God first. Just keep putting God first. Just keep putting God first. Wait for him and he will absolutely take care of you. Hallelujah. Again, it's about what you're pursuing. I want his wisdom because everything that I can desire is not to be compared to God's instruction. God's instruction. I want God's instruction for my marriage. I want God's instruction for my business. I want God's instruction for my kids. I want God's instruction for my behavior. I want God's instructions for how I talk, for how I think, and everything I do. That's what prosperity is. Listen, you know what prosperity is? Is when you put God first. If you're a Christian that doesn't put God first, you're not prospering. That's right. So there he goes. No, he's saying the reason why I don't have nice things is because I don't put God first. That's not what I said. I don't care what you have or don't have. If you don't put God first, you're not prospering. Then what you do have is going to pierce you through with sorrows. How about this? Can you bring up Proverbs 10:22? Come on now. Here's one that's going to kick the religious devil. If you have religious thinking, this is going to hurt. All right? And when I mean religious, I mean that, you know, it's just based on tradition and not what God's word actually says. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Take a deep breath. If you came out of a denomination, you're probably breathing heavy right now. And he adds no sorrow with it. 1 Timothy 6:10 says you can be rich and have sorrow, or you can be rich God's way and not have sorrow. That's the supply I'm after. That's the supply I'm after. My life does not consist of the things I possess. That my life consists of the wisdom I possess. I want to possess wisdom. Amen. I want the word. I don't know if you can tell by hanging out around this church. What is our number one pursuit here? The word of God. The word of God. Because the word is the wisdom of God. And the wisdom produces what mankind has always desired. Government won't do it. Donald Trump isn't going to fulfill your life. Hillary Clinton, she ain't going to fulfill your life. All right? Praise the Lord. Those folks aren't our fulfillment. They're not. The wisdom of God is going to fulfill us. The wisdom of God is going to pay the bills. The wisdom of God is going to pay your debt. Because you put God first. Amen. Because you have a symptom of prosperity. You say, I'm rich. I don't care what money I have or don't have. I'm rich. And I'm going to put God first. I'm going to tithe when he says to tithe. I'm going to go to church when he says to go to church. I'm going to serve when he says to serve. I'm going to praise when he says to praise. I'm going to shout when he tells me to shout. See, lifting hands is God's wisdom for worship. Shouting praises is his wisdom for worship. People say, well, I don't do that. That's not my personality. God didn't say it had to be your personality. He said, it's my wisdom to do that. Right? Psalm 134, verse 2. Lift your hands in the sanctuary, bless the Lord. Psalm 63, verse 3, because his loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus while I live, I will bless thee. I will lift my hands in your name. Therefore, I'll be filled with the fatness in the marrow. Yeah, you want to be filled with fatness? Some of you said, no, not that kind of fatness. Praise the Lord. Yeah, God loves you. My. All right. Zoe does not come from getting things. Jesus gave us this warning. Possessions do not give you life. They do not give you merit. Having more does not guarantee happiness. Man, I tell you what, I'm going against the grain of what a lot of people, even charismatics and stuff, teach. Because they sometimes give the impression it's just about having the stuff. Listen. Regardless of what you have, listen, God's going to furnish you exceedingly abundantly what you could ask or think. But don't pursue the stuff. Much of the prosperity message in the body of Christ today, it is a trap. It is a trap that gets people thinking about more stuff when they should have been thinking about more wisdom. Ouch. 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 I'm probably thinking, Pastor Tim, you probably don't make many friends. Listen, I wish everyone could be my friend, but didn't that sound sappy and weak? That sounded like an after-school special or something. Listen, I'm here. I like I said before, I'm on your side. I want nothing more than to see you prosper. But I don't want you to fall into the snare of thinking that it's your stuff that makes you prosperous. I want you to pursue God's wisdom. And as you obey God and you have a full heart, God's blessing will surround you because you put him first. You put him first. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Go to Matthew 19. Let me show you another illustration of this. I'm not even going to get through half of my message today, which is pretty much always the case. Go to Matthew 19. Listen. If you're sitting here today, and if you could answer this question positively, if I ask you, is God absolutely first in all areas of your life? And if the answer to that question is yes, He's first in my marriage, He's first in my money, He's first in everything I do, He's first in my attitudes, He's first. Well, guess what? Congratulations, you've become prosperous. Yes. Now what you've become on the inside, because your character has grown to the point where God is absolutely first, then God can start hanging blessings on your character. How many times have you heard me say it around here? Cash without character is a curse. You don't want financial prosperity if you don't have the character to handle it. All right? God wants to hang blessings upon your character. I've seen people that have prospered beyond their character, meaning they received more money than their character could handle, and I've watched it ruin their lives. I've watched children be hurt. I've watched marriages destroyed. And I've gone to several of these families and people that were in that situation. Watch out, watch out, watch out. Say, well, Pastor, you're a prosperity preacher. Yes, I believe in God's prosperity, but I believe in His mode of obtaining it. And when it came so suddenly and you didn't develop your character, then it can ruin your life. Just study the winners of the lottery. 85% of them in 2 years are bankrupt. They've alienated their family. They've lost their health. They've gained a whole bunch of weight. They've got stress. They've alienated people, you know, because why? They had cash, but they didn't have character. Come on. Matthew 19, let me show you this. Look at over here in I guess we have to start in verse 16. I want to save us the time, but I have to put it in context. Look at Matthew 19:16. It says, "And behold, one came and said unto Jesus, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Oh, remember, this is the rich young ruler. Remember what Jesus said unto him in verse 17, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments." And notice in verse 18, this young man who had a lot of wealth, he said unto him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "Yet thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So notice Jesus lists 6 of the 10 commandments, but he didn't list all 10. Because he omitted the ones that this man was struggling with, covetousness being the primary one. All right, but notice this in verse 20: "The young man saith unto him, All these things I have kept from my youth up. What do I lack, or what lack I yet?" That sounds like Yoda from Star Wars. You know how he talks in reverse? Anyhow. Verse 21, Jesus said unto him, "All right, if you will be perfect," that word perfect means mature. He said, "Go and sell that which you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Notice he had material wealth, but he had no joy. He went away sad. Oh, here we go. The man had great possessions, but he only had sorrow. Why? Because he lacked the willingness to be a supply. Listen, whatever you've obtained in this life that you are unwilling to give will make you sorrowful. If it has such a hold of your life that you could not imagine yourself giving it away, then you'll have sorrow. Look at all that you have. Doesn't mean God's telling you to give it. God told him to give all this stuff. That's not God telling everyone that you got to give away everything you have. Not at all. But we need to ask ourselves, what if? Think about those things in life that you just enjoy the most. Have you gone before God and say, Father, I know you haven't told me to do this, but if you told me to give this, I would. Or if that thought absolutely terrorizes you, then you know it has you. But we love this home. But we love this vehicle. We love this thing. Well, God didn't necessarily tell you to give it. But what if he did? Put that thought in your mind, because a lot of Christians, they hear that stuff, and that's when they back off. That's when you know that that thing has you. What if God told you to give up a hobby? What if? God told me to give up one of mine. You know, has told me to give away stuff. I mean, just when things that I was enjoying and loving, all of a sudden I'm like, yeah, glory to God. And yeah, give it away. That's happened so many times with me, but praise the Lord, what I've gotten in return is what that thing cannot purchase, and that's joy. There is no joy greater than knowing there's nothing between you and God. There's nothing. Amen. There's nothing, you know, and I say this proverbially, this is the mentality we all should have. There's nothing I won't do for him. There's nothing I won't give for him. There's no place I won't go for him. There's no favor too big for him or too small for him. Come on now. Yep. This man couldn't find any joy in that which he was unwilling to give. Yeah. It's not what you get that makes you happy. It's what you give. Getting does not make you happy. Giving gives you joy that is eternal. Praise the Lord. What was waiting on the other side? What did Jesus tell him? Right? He said, you'll have treasure in heaven. You'll have complete joy if you just become willing to give. So many Christians, they thought that they were holding on to their possessions, what God told them to give. And they thought, no, God's trying to get something from me. No, he was trying to get joy into your life. But this young man had to go away sad. And notice, he couldn't be cheered up by what he owned. If possessions thought that possessions made you happy, that is a big lie of the prosperity message. It's a lie. Listen, do possessions come around you when you put God first? Yes. Why? Because in wisdom's right hand is long life, and in her left hand is riches and honor. Again, it's not what you get or what you don't get. All right? It's how it came. All right? This man missed an opportunity. He missed an opportunity to have joy. He missed an opportunity to serve Jesus. Because God knew, Jesus knew, there's something, there was a problem. Jesus only mentioned 6 of the commandments. And the other ones that were not mentioned, coveting being the number one. He knew that this man had a coveting heart. He had a sincere heart. I want to follow God. I want to do my best for God. And Jesus said, yeah, I know you do, but there's something in the way. It's that you love your stuff. And you have an unwillingness to share and to give. And because you're unwilling to give, givers, God loves a what? A cheerful giver. Why? Because giving makes you cheerful. Yep. Yep. Folks, it happens to me. It happened to me this week. I'll just be honest with you. I had a sum of money come into my possession, got all excited, and all of a sudden God says, give it to so-and-so. Oh. And I sat there and I wrestled in my mind with it. But as soon as I let that thing go, guess what flooded my heart? Joy. 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 Praise the Lord. All right. Did you get something out of this today? Well, perhaps, the Lord willing, we can finish this up next Sunday. No promises. But I was really going to teach you the 3 things that govern prosperity in this life by the Word of God. Real quick, let me give them to you. Well, let me give them to you. It's real simple. We already talked about 1, wisdom. Wisdom governs prosperity. Wisdom is following the instructions of God. Don't think that you can prosper God's way without putting him absolutely first. Won't happen. 2, the second principle that governs prosperity on this earth, we talked about it briefly, is sowing and reaping. God is not mocked. Don't be deceived. Whatever a man sows, that's what you're going to reap. Say, well, where am I today, Pastor? The sum of your life is in the sum of the seed that you've sown. Not just money. but in your attitudes, your actions, your decisions, and what you've put God, what you've put in front of God, or that you put God in front of everything else. And the third one, of course, we mentioned this too, tithing. God help me stop robbing him. How many of you believe that thieves should go to jail? Thank you, 10 of you. Woo, system, law and order. Boy, we need to get it back. Well, I don't know. I don't think thieves should go to jail. Malachi 3:8. Real quick. If you, oh man, say, well, I feel real good. I'm a real, real good Christian. But if you're not tithing, the Bible calls you a thief. That pastor down there called me a thief. No, that pastor didn't. God did. Will a man rob God? I sure hope not, because I believe that robbers should go to jail. Yet you have robbed me, God says. But we say, wherein have we robbed you, God? God says, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. You don't tithe, so you're a thief. And then look at verse 9. Oh, man, let's don't leave on a down note, but here we go. He says, now because you've robbed God, you're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, of course, we don't live under the curse of the law, but this is just a negative effect of when you don't put God first, when you rob him. And then that's why he says in verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. You know, listen, we always want our house, you know, our home, our stuff. We want God's blessing on it. But do you put God's house first? Well, Pastor, I'm here half the time. The other half, I'm out playing golf and goofing around on Sunday mornings. Yeah, God's not first in your life. That's why. Well, Pastor, I got other stuff to do and all that. I know. Those things are coming in front of God. You know? Well, God's not first. Well, we can't tithe. We have all this. It's so amazing to me. You watch people. They won't tithe, but they'll have the satellite TV. They'll have a car payment. They'll have a house payment. You honor the bank with interest, but not God. People wonder, Christians all over, crying out to God, 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 God. And the whole time God's like, well, you're robbing me. If someone breaks into your home, you know, if someone is forcing their way into their home, how many of you believe you have a right to defend your home? Okay, and by whatever means of force, that's your choice. Me, you know, you might not want to try to come in, all right? But however you choose to, you don't want the uninvited in. You don't want someone that's trying to steal from you and take from your home. Don't you think God's at least as smart as we are? Why would God bless someone that's robbing from him? We need to ask ourselves that question. You say, well, Pastor, this is just Family Church's idea. No, it's not. I've showed you the verses, you know, not all of them, but there's, of course, more. If you want more, I can give you some more. But if you have a church that's not this one, guess what? Next Sunday, bring your tithe into the storehouse. Bring your tithe into the storehouse. Why? Oh, because pastors is trying to put money in churches. Well, yeah. Yeah, I am. But more importantly, I'm trying to get you, like Pastor Brad mentioned, Deuteronomy 14, verses 22 and 23. It says, bring your tithe that you may learn to reverence God. Because I want you to put God first. Because the best prosperity scripture in all of the Bible is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, right? The kingdom of God. And all these things, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Don't ask God to add to your life if you're not putting him first. Amen. Did you get some help here today? Hey, you did. And I'll say it's not because it's me, it's the word of God. This is what happens when God gets into our heart and he starts making adjustments. He's not trying to take anything from you. It's because he's trying to establish the good plan. Wouldn't you rather know on this side of it? Then all of a sudden stand in front of Jesus. He said, hey, look, my favorite thief. My thief child. What do you mean, Jesus? And the Bible says you're just judged by the word. He'll say, well, you know, it says that you robbed me with tithes and offerings. Yeah, well, God, I couldn't afford to tithe. I didn't ask you. Jesus will say, well, you did it. You could have afforded it if you did it first. The only reason you can't afford it is because your cell phone, your smartphone, your data plan, your iPod, your Netflix, your satellite, your NFL package. No, nothing wrong with having those things, but it is when you don't put God first. Try to lay your iPad on you next time the symptoms get on your body. Not healing. No healing power coming from there. You know, if you lay a Samsung on you, it might bro. Oh! It might light you on fire. My Samsung, no heal. Whoa. You'll be stopped, dropping, and rolling.